WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Welcome back to Dome and Domer, Irish fans. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today, Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. And we're a few days before the San Diego State game, the 2008 opener. So we're going to talk about our expectations for this year's team again, particularly in light of the last week's college football action around the country. Right. And we'll discuss a little bit about some personnel issues on the Irish team. Who are you excited to see play? Who do you think has the biggest upside? A lot of freshmen in the first and second team depth charts out there. So these are some of the topics we'll talk about. If you have any comments or questions about Dome and Domer, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or you can post a comment on our website at domeanddomer.com. So let's get it started. Bram, I know that you feel after last week's action in college football that BCS bowl game is a lock and 11-0 is a certainty. It's our God-given right.
No, unfortunately for a lot of fans out there, I feel like they are overreacting to what happened. I mean, you look at Michigan and they struggle with Utah, but Utah is a senior-laden team. I mean, I don't think that goes as unexpected. I did watch a good portion of the Michigan State-Cal game, and Michigan State looked extremely physical to me, and they looked fast. And, you know, looking at them on TV, they look like they're going to pose problems for us. So, you know, I think a lot of people saw a bunch of teams on our schedule lose and immediately think, well, there's win number, 10 for us. I don't think so. I think you got to wait till we hit the field and see what happens.
Well, I tell you, Bram, I hear all that and I think to myself, oh, my God, I'm agreeing with Mike Brammer on something and it scares me. But I completely agree. I've come off my position, which is that, seven plus or minus is kind of the number, and I think we could be just above or just below. There's a lot of question marks that we have on this team, and, Pitt looked bad, Michigan looked bad, you could say that, but, I think those are going to be tough games. There's a bunch of middle games in the season that are still question marks.
Well, Pitt was up 17-0. So they looked bad after they were up 17-0.
They were 14-0, I think, I think the results from last weekend don't tell us a lot because most of the questions have to do with who we are, not Michigan or anybody else. It is about what are we going to be. And so those questions remain until we see something on the field. And there will still be questions even after this Saturday. But a couple things from the first week of college football. One, San Diego State is bad. I mean, I think that's one that we can look at and say, all right, we are absolutely going to beat these guys in the home opener. Cal Poly, yeah. Division I AA, I mean, really drilled them.
I know.
Even though it was a last-second field goal that resulted in the final score, Cal Poly rushed the ball on San Diego State really well. San Diego State has subsequently lost a couple guys off their defense.
Right.
And this really should be a cakewalk for Notre Dame.
Well,
and if it's not, maybe that raises some questions.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think that there are another level of expectations that have come with seeing how bad San Diego State is that actually puts some pressure on us. And some of the there's kind of a parallel with Ty's third year and the BYU game, okay? And how, we all looked and said, okay, is this year going to tell us that Ty is more like his first year or more like his second year? And we came right out of the blocks and laid an egg against BYU, and I, for one, went, okay, we now know who Ty Willingham is. In much the same way, okay, there's nowhere to hide.
This is a very good point,
It's a good point, but I would agree. I somewhat disagree, though. I mean, my feelings about Charlie Weiss aren't going to change on the basis of this game, other than if we look pathetic. Aren't going to look pathetic.
Okay, then we're okay then.
Right.
All right. I've been a Charlie supporter the whole way, but saying I'm going on the record right now.
The big difference
if
now.
If we have problems,
I agree.
If we have any problems against San Diego State, we have nowhere to hide.
Right. There's nowhere to hide because we have the recruiting that we've wanted the last 2 years, but we're still young.
We're still young. Only, I think, maybe three or four other schools have as many true freshmen in their one and two deep depth chart as we do. We're obviously still young, but enormously talented. Officially now the number one recruiting class in the country is our freshman. But, now, Ed, we're going to, I'm sure, talk about this in subsequent shows, but no place to hide if we struggle. Okay, now how do you define struggling? What are your expectations? What would constitute dominance? Is it 250 yards rushing? Is it fewer than X amount of sacks? Is it points on the board? How do we define dominance? Will we know it when we see it? Can we look to some statistical measures to indicate it? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I could throw out some statistical measures. I think it's more going to be we know it when we see it. I think it's more going to be a sense of it. But let's put it this way. If this game is in doubt late in the third quarter, there's a problem.
Okay, that's one we can agree on, I think. I would agree. To see this being at halftime at least a two-score lead for us, and late in the third quarter, no doubt at all. I agree.
I give myself some wiggle room for the first half because of, you know,
experience,
first game mistakes, things like that. Like, we could put up 10 points. It could be 10-3 at half, and everyone could go, well, we look fine. It was just a drive stopped by a penalty, a drive stopped by an unforced turnover. Those would have been two scores. You know, they got a half-field drive and kicked a field goal, right? Something like that might happen at half, so it could be 10-3, right?
But
right.
But you also got to look at the way they're going to approach this game. I mean, we are, and you've said this several times, Ed, we are a team coming off a 3-9 season. So your first objective is to win the football game starting to, you know, Saturday. I think Notre Dame's going to do it any way they can. Granted, I would love to see us come out, pound the ball on offense and run it down their throat and then play great defense. I mean, that, you know, obviously that's going to equate to a 14-21 point win, you would think. But
go ahead.
Yeah, my point is that that's the most difficult thing about college football. You can't just break this out without seeing the game and seeing how it goes. You can't read scores and make judgments based off that. You got to watch the game.
Which is exactly the problem with the Associated Press poll.
That's right.
These guys do not watch all the games and really look at
them. I wonder if they watch any of them.
Right. It's just looking at scores and highlights and
yeah, how did USC flip on a game? I mean, they're now number one. But what did they do that was so different before the season started?
Well, hang on a minute, Mike. Did you watch them?
They just
I watched a little bit, but... Okay, it's not like the number one team in the nation prior to that played horrible.
Well, listen, the problem with the whole system is we shouldn't be ranking anybody prior to maybe like the first
November
week in October.
1st.
November 1st would be good, middle of October, something like that. Because you're right, how do you really differentiate between Georgia and USC? I think they're both excellent teams. Either one of them has a shot at being number one, but how do you really know right now? Oh, comparing scores. Well, you know, that's really tough to do.
Let me ask you a question. You talked about Charlie's comments about pounding the ball, and you wanted to see him pound the ball. And you know, I would love it, bring a tear to my eye if we get a first down on third and one by running, you know, which we had trouble with last year. But given Charlie's reputation for balance, I'm a balance attack guy. Do we really think that he's channeling Woody Hayes now? You know, he wants to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's what he's going to do. He's going to pound the ball. I think he's still going to look for balance in terms of running passing.
Yeah, I mean, he won't be calling the call the plays, so supposedly we won't know for sure if it's really his. I do think there is going to be some balance there, but I think he will establish the run coming out. I don't see us. Can you imagine the stadium and the snickering that's going to go on if we come out in the first series and throw it three times and don't get a first down? That place will go up for grabs.
If we have to throw it in the second and third series, that's when maybe.
Yeah, just based on everything he said and the comments he's made, I mean, I think we are going to, and this is, you know, San Diego State. I mean, we should win this game. You got to think that you want to establish the run because that's what, you know, dominant teams do when you're the better team. I mean, you establish that. So I think he's going to do that coming out of the block. I can't see him coming out and throwing it wide open with the passing.
You know, and that when you talk about guys that you about the running thing, that brings me to the point that Mike raised earlier. Who are we excited to see? I want to see our backs, Armando Allen, Robert Hughes, James Aldridge. I think that if those guys get behind an offensive line that now is going to be playing together, playing aggressively because they know the system and they feel confident, I want to see what those guys can do behind a good line.
Well, I think a couple key guys in that, Chris Stewart, the big offensive guard, who as a freshman last year had a little bit of playing time. Remember, he's the guy that left the team early in the year, had enormous guy, had some weight issues coming in, then left the team, and then by the end of the year was getting some serious playing time and really was impressive in the last couple games and had a great spring. I think as Charlie likes to say, the arrows are pointing up on him. He's got a big upside. He's got a big backside, too, if you look at him, but that's a different story. So Chris Stewart is a guy that I think is a real key in that offensive line. Now, everybody's real excited about Turkovic at left tackle. Sam Young's been flipped over to right tackle. And Turkovic, the key guy, is at left tackle when you're throwing the ball, obviously, to protect the quarterback's backside, blindside. But everybody says Turkovic is improved enormously. So these are the things we have to look for, because when you give up an NCAA record amount of sacks and then all those guys are back,
right,
that's not necessarily good news.
Mike, right? I got to say that everyone has – a lot of Notre Dame fans are just like flipping the calendar over and assuming they're going to be better. But, yeah, these are the same guys who gave up a record number of sacks.
But we all know that there's multiple factors at play in why that happens. Sometimes it's the receivers running the wrong route, young guys. Freshman quarterback holding on to the ball too long. We can't run it at all.
Yeah, freshman
so teams are teeing off on
right.
us.
Freshman running backs.
Backs blowing assignments and the blitz pickup. Okay,
right.
So there's a lot of factors in that. But if you here's, I think, a legitimate reason why you should be excited about the offensive line is all these guys, it's great material to work with. All these guys were highly recruited, recognizing the problems with putting too much stock in recruiting. But if we can't recruit the top talent in the offensive line at Notre Dame, there are no positions we can then. Because we know that, you know, with the history and the type of athlete you get in the offensive line, these are traditional areas where we recruit well.
Yeah, not only that, but, I mean, the other thing is that there have been some very noticeable gains strength-wise and weight-wise with this offensive line in the offseason. They did some tremendous leaps when it comes to the bench press. I mean, all these intangibles that were just directly related to those guys working out hard.
And
that's going to translate into being stronger up front.
Another factor, Bram, I think it's important, is the more physical practices. Who does that benefit the most when practices are more physical, more live work? I think it's going to benefit the offensive line more.
Yeah, that could have been a serious detriment
general,
last
think, yes.
year. But, you know, going back to the issue about who are the guys to look for, and this is based on what I physically saw, but I got a chance to run into a couple of these guys over the summer. Armando Allen is a totally different looking back. I mean, he is absolutely ripped up top. I think I'm going to go ahead on record and make the claim that he is going to have a breakout year this year. I think he had the speed last year. He just didn't have the ability. Number one, he didn't have the ability to read the holes very well. He started doing it late in the season, but early on, it seemed like he was running right into the backs of guys. Two, he got a little knocked off. I mean, all it would take a little bit of a nudge on him, and he got off kilter. I think he's put on a lot of muscle up top that's going to help him breaking through the line of scrimmage. A
couple points on the backs. You know, I like Armando Allen a lot. You got to remember, last year as a true freshman, it was the first time he had played since his junior year in high school, because he missed his entire senior year.
Well, I forgot.
And then
that.
James Aldrich is another guy
right.
who has missed a lot
right.
of time
right.
with injuries, mm-hmm. hasn't been healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both these guys are now healthy, and a year of experience leads you to believe that, you know, they're going to live up to their potential.
Let me flip to the other side of the ball, because I have some concerns there in terms of, you know, the size and physicality of our guys up front and our linebackers. I think that, you know, when you look at playing time and experience and issues of size, and do you guys have some concerns on defense that we are a little undersized work against San Diego State.
I think we're a year away on defense yet, and especially at the front seven. The secondary appears to be the strength of the defense, but I think we're a year away with the front seven. That having been said, there's still some guys that are having had a great spring and a great fall camp.
Yeah, you know, you when you first asked the question about what would you get excited about, which players, well, if you really think about it, I mean, what would really excite Notre Dame fans? For me, it would be seeing the defense as a whole rise to the occasion and play much better defense. I mean, that is really going to generate the excitement level for, I think, us, is if we come out and really pound it on San Diego State defensively, come into the Michigan game, that game's at home, you're going to have everybody behind us. I mean, that would bode well for us going the rest of the season if our defense all of a sudden plays a little better to the expectations.
I think the defense is, even though I think we're a year away in terms of truly being dominant, I think the defense played well enough last year for periods of time, given that the offense couldn't do anything. And with Tenuta in there, a second year in the Corwin Brown system, I'm somewhat optimistic that we'll be more than adequate on defense. A couple guys that you've really got to look at and say, you know, they could be something special. I think Brian Smith and Kerry Neal, what they did last year in pass situations was really great. Kyle McCarthy showed some flashes late in the year and could be a real solid replacement for Zbikowski. And I think everybody always kind of felt like, you know, Zibby misses too many plays. You know, makes a lot of great plays but misses a lot of routine plays. McCarthy may give some stability there. But the star of the defense, I think, is David Bruton. Had a great year last year and is on a lot of All-American watch lists. He should be excellent. But here's the guy that I really think is the key. Ian Williams at nose tackle had a tremendous second half of his freshman year last year. Made some freshman All-American teams on a 3-9 team. I mean, he got noticed. And if he can dominate and control the middle line of scrimmage, you might see Maurice Crum being a more effective linebacker than he's been.
Yeah, well, we're going to need that, I think. You got three sophomores that could be key to this defense. Ian Williams, Harrison Smith, Brian Smith. You know, young guys, Kerry Neal, young guy in there. And even at one of the DNs, you've got a junior and senior, Maurice Richardson or Justin Brown, and then they're backed up by a freshman. So, you know, some youth there.
But David Bruton is the kind of athlete that we really haven't had in a while back there. I mean, when you have a big hitter like that from the safety position, I mean, that can have a huge impact on – you know, that middle of the seam pass isn't so enticing anymore when you got a guy that you got to worry about that hits that hard.
Well, listen, I think, you know, in Duke way, would punish you. But I think Bruton's a more polished version of Ndukwe. Ndukwe was a converted, offensive player, hadn't played much defense, and I think at times he took bad angles and he just looked
exactly.
A little lost.
The LSU
Bruton
game.
Hits you like Ndukwe does, but I think he's a little more polished product playing against the pass. I think he's maybe the only true All-American on the team. Now, in this all this conversation about individual guys, a name that hasn't come up at all,
Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah.
So what do you expect out of Jimmy Clausen? We'll wrap it up with a brief expectations for Jimmy Clausen this year. What do you want to see out of the quarterback?
Well, you know, I think Jimmy is going to live up to his hype. I think he's that good. I think from what I'm hearing is he's putting everything on the ball, a lot of zip. He's now 100% healthy, so to speak, from what they're saying. I expect great things from him this year.
And that may not be reflected statistically in a Brady Quinn type of year if we truly are more balanced and we're pounding the ball on people. But I think he's going to have a great year also.
I actually don't think he needs to have a great year for us to have a successful year. He needs to play within himself and within the system. And I have some concerns that he's going to try and do too much. You know, there's kind of that sophomore-itis that we like to subscribe to sometimes, that you come back that next year and you're trying to do a little too much because you've been through a year already, and maybe, you know, he's going to have to really focus on controlling his emotions, being a leader, and working within the system.
Well, yeah, I think one of the upsides to Clausen from last year's disastrous season was he really established himself as a leader. The beating that he took, I think he has the respect of his teammates. From the things you read and hear, he's not a prima donna. He's a good teammate. And I agree with what you're saying in terms of playing within the system. I think he does have to have a great year for us to have a great year. But that doesn't mean Brady Quinn numbers. Having a great year might be, 12 out of 18, two touchdowns, no picks, for 175 yards, right? Those kind of
on
numbers.
On Saturday, that'd be great. I'd take that right
well,
now.
Right, but, I mean, listen, those kind of numbers don't get you on anybody's All-American list. But if we're effectively running the ball, those kind of numbers could make us really balanced when we
I
need
agree
to
with
be.
That.
So
that's you redefining
that's
what
playing
it
with
to
the
be
system.
Great, but that's what I'm saying. That's what he needs to do. He can't try and do too much.
Right.
There's a lot of talk around camp about how good Dane Crist looks.
That's great, and let's hope that we don't see it for a couple years.
That's my view, too, is that if we don't need him, then it's a good thing.
Absolutely. I think the quarterback position is as stocked as it's been in a long time. And if keep your fingers crossed, if we can stay healthy, leave Sharpley as the backup, and Crist as the red shirt, that really sets up the
cycle,
future cycle,
yes,
which
yes.
We've been out of whack since Davey
time.
Missed on Chris Leak. So, I think it was Chris Leak, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to wrap it up there. Next week, we'll be back with three shows, a couple recaps of the opener plus a preview of the second game of the year against Michigan. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. Please send us an email if you have any questions or comments, info@domeanddomer.com, or post them on the website. For Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.